Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Diva Daver Lives in France. Tonight we'll be interviewing the multi-talented Steve Blackwood. Steve played Bart, the funny Demira henchman, for 9 years until 2007. Feel free to call in to ask Steve a question at 914-338-1239. You can call also using Skype. Our chat room is open. To participate in the chat, you must register. Check us out daily at our blog at divaofdaysforlives.blogspot.com. And you can also join us on Facebook at Diva Days. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I miss all the fans at Days. I miss Days, but I must tell you all that I'm very happily moved to the Detroit, Michigan area and am doing lots of stuff, including movies, television, and stage right here in Michigan.
Yeah, so I want to know all about that, yeah.
Well, I moved. Here's the deal, guys. Am I talking to Carrie or Lori here?
You're talking to
Carrie.
Here.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
Carrie,
you're
Lori.
Carrie
I moved.
Right,
I was moving to. We decided after they killed my character off, and if you guys remember, was a sword fight. The sword was meant for Tony Demira and ended up going right through me, and I had the big death scene with Stefano, and everybody cried. My mom cried, by the way. Oh, she was upset. She thought I really died, you know. And yeah, she was very upset. But we decided after they killed my character off, and they never brought back Bart's evil twin, which I thought would have been a really funny idea,
mm-hmm.
and where Bart's evil twin is actually not such a klutz and
mm-hmm.
a funny guy, but actually like a really serious guy. But they didn't go for that. So I ended up saying, let's move back to New York, where I started, and where you, I know Lori's, you know, from, and let's go back and do some television. And actually, I was reading for Guiding Light.
Oh.
And as it turns out, I brought my daughter and my wife, and we were staying in Connecticut and commuting in for auditions. And I decided I love New York, but I didn't want to live there anymore, and I certainly didn't want to have my 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Live there and grow up there because I wanted her to get more of a normal sort of suburban thing, which you won't get in New York City. So mm-hmm. We ended up going back to where I'm originally from, which is Detroit, Michigan, and where my parents are from. And we moved back here, and we haven't looked back. We've been here 8 months, and in the time that I've been here, I've done 3 movies, 1 play, a bunch of singing gigs. As you guys know, I'm a jazz singer,
mm-hmm.
a la Michael Bublé, and
mm-hmm.
all kinds of events and things that I'm hosting and doing, and I'm kind of a big fish in a small pond here. The movies that I did, by the way, are Cedar Rapids, wonderful comedy film with Ed Helms from The Office and from The Hangover, the guy with the broken tooth. I did.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a couple scenes with him, very funny scenes, and I also did a movie called Muslim with Danny Glover, where I played a very serious role of a racist parent who doesn't want his daughter to go out with a Muslim. And I did a voiceover on a funny movie called Oogie Love and the Big Balloon Adventure. Cloris Leachman's in it, and lots of really great people are in it, Chaz Palminteri. So, and I'm telling you, Michigan has become like the Hollywood Midwest. I'm really happy to be here. And I'm looking forward to having more people. People from L.A. are actually moving here while we have this 40% tax break, and people are doing all coming here to all kinds of movies. Clint Eastwood did Gran Torino here. Lots of movies are being shot here. Spielberg's doing a movie in June.
Wow.
The Hugh Jackman's in. I forgot the name of it. But we've got about 50 movies coming this year once the snow melts. That are going to be shot, and I'm planning to be part of those as well. And I'm also just did a funny play called Boeing Boeing. I played Robert, which was on Broadway with Bradley Whitfield, and I did it out here in Michigan at their best theater called Meadowbrook, and we just, like, killed. We had some great houses, and I just have been working more than I had been in L.A., and I'm just really just so happy to be out here. But saying all that, I miss you guys very much. I miss the fans. The only time I got to see fans are when we did the Days event, which I talked to you guys, Carrie and Lori, about, where we did the we did a talent search. Days of Our Lives did, and Greg Meng, the producer, came out, and Nadia Bjorlund came out, and Shelley Henning came out, and Brian DiTillo and Jim Reynolds and all these wonderful guys, and we all auditioned all the actors in Detroit to try to get two walk-on roles on Days of Our Lives, and we did, and they got these two guys got roles on Days, but we went through every actor in Detroit, and they all read for Marnie Saeta, is that right? The casting director for Days, she came out too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was like a talent search. It was like a star search, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For actors, and it was really cool.
That was
at the MGM Grand. And mm-hmm. By the way, Detroit has got these wonderful casinos. There's gambling allowed in the city. So mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the MGM Grand there is just as nice as the MGM Grand in Vegas. I'm telling you, it's just like, it's beautiful. All your fans that are listening in out there and are going to be asking me questions in a minute, I got to mm-hmm. tell you, whatever images you've had of Detroit, Michigan. By the way, I live in a suburb called Beverly Hills, Michigan. How ironic. I'm here in Michigan, but anyone who has an image of Detroit being this sort of burnt out, high unemployment, yes, the unemployment's high, but it's high all around the country, as I understand.
Right.
And it's actually a beautiful city, and our producer, Greg Meng, actually said he wants to come back and shoot. He's a producer of movies as well, and he wants to come back and do a movie here. And he just was taken with all the beautiful buildings we have and the lakes around here. It's really gorgeous, and Detroit just gets a bad reputation. Believe me, it's not what you guys think. It's actually a really, really beautiful city with some very nice people in it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I was wondering why there's so much activity with Detroit and the entertainment industry, and it is the tax incentives. It's just,
you get 40%, so a tax break, you know, mm-hmm. on your production. So, you know, anybody, including Spielberg, would be foolish not to come out and film in Detroit right now. In fact, mm-hmm. they did a movie called Red Dawn. Mm-hmm. They were shooting out here, which was a remake of the Patrick Swayze mm-hmm. movie a long time ago. And Detroit, at night, not a lot of people live in the actual city. Not a lot of people like live there. So there was like, it's like having like actual, like you can film a movie, like on a movie set with no one around and put your extras and everything. And it's like great. It's great for sets because no one's there, you know, mm-hmm. in Detroit. But there are parts of Detroit where there is a lot of nightlife, but just in certain parts of Detroit, it's perfect for filming. There's a lot of films going that went on last year. Red Dawn is one of them, and then the movies that I was in, and now we've got like 50 coming this year. And it is all because you guys, because of the tax incentive. It's just incredible. And there's a governor named Jennifer Granholm here that, as long as she's governor, the tax breaks are going to be there. But the problem is she's leaving this year, so this could be the last year of the 40% tax break, but while it's here, it's great to be an actor in Detroit.
Oh, I bet.
I saw on your website that you're also teaching acting classes out there.
I am. I'm teaching because we have also a lot of these movies. A lot of Michigan actors are like being called upon to do roles in these movies, and they've never been on camera before. What I do is I get a camera, and we have a studio, and I show them how to do an audition. Professional audition, how to like, you know, slate, how to, you know, how to like read on camera, how to be relaxed on camera. We even in our acting class, and I teach cold reading as well, and we even do scenes from Days of Our Lives, you know, where I show them how to do it and what plays on soaps and what doesn't play. But basically getting them comfortable in front of a camera is what I do. And they seem to really respond to that. They're very successful seminars. I've done them in Birmingham, where Beverly Hills, where I live, is like the sleeper town of Birmingham, which is a beautiful city. But what I've also done is I take my show on the road, so to speak. So I've gone to Michigan State University mm-hmm. and to Hillsdale College, which is a beautiful private college, and to the Michigan Actor Studio, which is the Michigan version of the Actor Studio in New York. And I teach in the Ford Community Center, and I teach teenagers, I teach adults, and they all seem to really respond and really listen and give their respect to me because they know that I was on Days of Our Lives for 10 years. And so they always ask me, how, you know, what's the right camera, or what do I do here, what do I do there? And they also, the biggest question they ask me, and I want to get to your questions if you got anybody lined up for me, is how did I make, this is the question that everybody asks, and I want to make it really clear to you guys. They said, okay, so you came on and you did Bart for 10 years, but how did you start? And how did Bart end up being a comedy character?
Right.
Because when I started in 1997, remember Eileen Davidson was on the show?
Yes.
And back then, you know, and people different, all the cast changed and everything. And she played Susan, right? So I was hired for 3 days to build a secret room for Susan to kind of, you know, keep her prisoner in the secret room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hired to be Stefano's henchman, Stefano's yes man. Like, yes, boss, I'll go kill her, or yes, boss, I'll go build this room, you know. And what I ended up doing as I started doing the character was that I thought, well, I'm really good at comedy, so why don't we just throw in a look or two, or why don't we make Bart not the sharpest bulb in the lamp, do you know what I mean? And make him like, you know, like if he's going to go out and shoot somebody, maybe he forgets the gun or forgets where the gun is or stuff like that. And the writers responded, and of course I cleared it with the writers. I wouldn't do anything without it being written first, but I always talked to the writers and said, why does this guy have to be this yes man? Maybe he's like more of a three-dimensional character where he's actually got insecurities and he's a womanizer, and he's this and he's that, you know. And Bart ended up doing all kinds of things throughout the years. I ended up being a stripper one time at Sammy's bachelorette party.
No, that was my favorite episode. That was my favorite.
We all remember that one.
I dressed as a woman twice for the Some Like It Hot stuff. Once with Rolf, I forgot what it was. We were out on a rowboat trying to dump a body, and the other one was I was trying to fool Roman in the police station once. And my dad didn't like so much that I was, because he's this conservative Detroit guy, and he didn't want to talk about me dressing up as a woman. But they ended up expanding what was a one-note yes or no sir character into a very funny henchman that people did like a lot. I got a lot of fan mail and a lot of love from all the events that I used to go to. And I wanted people to laugh. That's my whole joy in life, is to try to make people laugh. And I do that here in Michigan now in the various projects that I do. But I wanted to do it with this character, Bart. I wanted to just, you know, I mean, life can be so hard sometimes, you know. And I mean, it's like you need a laugh once in a while, you know.
Right.
That's
right.
All I wanted to do. And I think I accomplished that while I was there. I'm really grateful to NBC for allowing me to expand the character into a comedic one, you know, which was where my real love is. My heroes were like, and are still, Cary Grant, Jack Lemmon, guys that can do drama but are just inherently funny. They have a sense of humor about themselves, you know, and I think people like that, respond to that, and they have a good time. You know, that's all I want to do, is have a good time.
Right. Yeah, I was always wondering how you did that, but you were just a bit fire, and it just blew up. You know,
it blew up, and I started doing stuff with, and it even got even further along when I started working with Rolf, where they made us sort of a comedy duo, like Ivan and Vivian, and I forgot, Calliope, was it, before?
There was Eugene and Calliope. And,
right, and it's like they needed, what the show needed at the time that I was on was comic relief. So I started doing a little bit of that with Joe Mascola. Then Joe left, and then we started doing it with Rolf. And then Tony, Teo Penglis, is a sweet guy, was all for it. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't threatened at all about Bart being kind of funny, and he kind of played off that as well. He was a really good straight man on that. But Rolf was the best guy, because Rolf and I got into all kinds of situations, and it was the weirdest thing. Here you got this guy, he doesn't talk that way, by the way, with the German accent, and He's really, you know, but Rolf was like, it was great. I mean, Rolf was like this demented sort of guy who'd want to blow up the world and blow up Salem. And I'm going, and I'm a bad guy, but I was a bad guy with a conscience going, what are you going to blow, you can't kill all these people. You're going to kill us if you blow up Salem. So it was a funny sort of duo. It was like a good, they call it an Abbott and Costello. It was a good contrast. He was kind of psychopath, and I was this funny guy playing off the psychopath. But to answer your question, how did it build? It just did. The writers really got off on me, on my takes and the way I was on camera and the way I delivered my lines. So the writers, it was really the writers. They started to and literally write comedy for me, straight out comedic scenes for me, which was wonderful. And that's how it started. You know, you don't mind that beep. Someone's trying to call me, but I won't get it. You guys are more important than
well,
that
thank you.
Beep.
Rose is on the line. Rose.
Okay.
Yep. I'm here, Steve. How are you?
Good, Rose. How are you?
Oh, I'm
Rose
doing really good.
Rose lives in Michigan. She came to a gig that I did the other night, right, Rose? I also sang.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, Rose, or the fans saw it, but I sang on Days of Our Lives. I sang Honeysuckle Rose once, and then I sang Mac the Knife, right, on another.
Yeah, I got Mac the Knife on tape. I saw it the other day. I was looking for an old tape, and I happened to play that one, and there you were. You were in a scene with Jennifer and Jack. On their show, it was the Jack and or the Jen show or whatever.
Yeah,
the
Jennifer show, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and they were trying to find some evidence in your coat pocket or something, and trying
oh,
to
right.
beat up time. And
right.
They had your Abe and I think Bo were looking through your coat backstage for to the side
right.
of the dining room or something.
They were trying to distract me by singing with me while Abe and Bo were looking through my coat. Right, for the
and
evidence. Right.
You did a great version of Mac the Knife. I mean, it was like you were rehearsing for a recording or something, you know, like a regular record or recording. It was great. And
well,
I happened to have it on tape. I found it the other day.
Oh, thank you so much, Rose. I loved when they got a chance for me to sing on the show. It was great because while I was doing Days, I was doing club dates all around town and doing out-of-town appearances, singing, you know, Sinatra stuff that I do in my original jazz. And it was really nice of them to let me sing on the show. It was really cool, you know.
What was it like to work with Matt Ashford and Melissa Reeves?
I loved those guys. Matt was kind of funny in his own right, and I really loved working with them. Melissa is like the sweetest girl that you'll ever want to meet, you know what I mean? Just really a down-home guy. And Matt is also a great guy and a really good father, you know, and he and I have a lot in common because we both like to do plays while we were doing the show, and he would do a lot of stage work in L.A. He's not on the show anymore, right? He's,
right.
Do you know where Matt, what's Matt doing these days?
I think he's
doing
Guys and Dolls.
Yeah,
he's in musicals,
He's in musicals.
He's touring. Yeah, I think he's touring Guys and Dolls right now. Yeah,
right.
And
the other guy,
another independent film came out too.
And he had an independent film because there was another guy, Kevin Spiritus, that was on, and he was a singer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he hasn't been on for in a long time as well. But
he was
here on an off Broadway play and had a nude scene, and I saw it.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Yeah. It was impressive,
Uh-oh, let's keep it clean. This is a clean radio show here.
Steve, I have another question.
His name,
yeah, what's
the
question?
It's the first thing that pops into my head now.
Yeah, I know.
Steve, when you were in the play, Bowling here, you know, I came and
right.
saw you one night, and I got fourth row seats, and how that ever happened, I'll never know. I was one of the last people seated because I was one of the seats they had left. I think it was someone with season tickets that didn't show up that night, so they gave me the seat.
How wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was right there, and you guys were so good. I mean, you were as good as a Broadway play. I mean, the production, the values, the acting, everything. But Janet, I think Janet, one of the stewardesses,
right.
She was getting real fresh with you in one scene, and she threw you, like, on the sofa, and you hit your head. And
right.
Everybody gasped. We gasped in the audience. We were worried that you were hurt. I mean,
right.
Did it hurt?
It did hurt. That was the one night. You came. It was a good show that night, but that was the
one
night where, yeah, on a live performance, that sometimes you get these accidents that happen. You know what I mean? And that was one of them, because that couch on the arms of the couch in the play Boeing Boeing, the stewardess, the American stewardess is coming on to me, and she throws me down to kiss me, and my head hit the edge of the couch, which had no padding, and it was just wood, so it just like. Just a block piece of wood, and I hit my head, and the sound like was so loud, and yes, that hurt very much, and I was kind of groggy.
We were worried about you. We
yeah.
didn't know if that was part of the scene, or everybody gasped. We were in a pity. Was he hurt? I mean, everybody in the audience went, "Oh!" Like they gasped. I don't know if you realized.
I got up. I played it like it was part of the scene where I got up and like was spinning around like her kiss was so powerful that it made me, you know, put stars in my eyes, you know.
Well,
and
you
like,
pulled it off pretty good because we didn't know what to think.
We had I'm okay now. And actually, it was only that night. I had a headache that night. I took 2 aspirin and it was all good. But these things happen in a live play. One time, one of the pieces of the floor fell off the edge, you know, and then everyone was, you know, kind of laughing at that. Live theater is wonderful because it's all how you respond to it. And that's what I really missed doing Days, was as much fun as I had doing comedy and doing Bart, you didn't get a reaction because there was no audience. I mean, no one could react because you're in the middle of a take and you can't, you know what I mean? You can't get a reaction. Is laughing. Sometimes when the take was over and they said yelled cut, then the crew would start laughing or something. But here you're doing comedy and the audience is roaring with laughter and it's right at you, and it's just like, as an actor, you can't get a better feeling than that. You know.
Well, the audience sure loved it. There was a lot of buzz afterwards as I was leaving. I mean, everybody was just commenting. I mean, it was the crowd was like retired school teachers, professors, you know, silver-haired people. There were young students, too, a lot of students there. And everybody was just talking, you know, how much fun they had. And the beginning of the play, they had that guy come out, acted like an airline pilot and directing everybody. That was cute.
Yeah, we had our director come on and come on as the airline pilot saying, if you have any problems with the children next to you, you know, make sure that your husband... doesn't sit near you or whatever it is. He's making these jokes like that. And we were actually at Meadowbrook, which I don't know if a lot of the listeners would know that are listening across the country, if they are, is that it's a Detroit theater, but it's a really high-profile theater. And it's one of the best, aside from the Fisher Theater in Detroit and the Gem and all that, it's one of the top theaters in the country or in the state. And I was just really happy to be part of one of their third best selling or third biggest box office hit was Boeing Boeing. And I'm glad I didn't see it when it was on Broadway with Bradley Whitfield, because I don't like any actors influencing my performance. We just had a ball doing it. Everyone in the cast was really sweet. And we were so successful. They're going to bring it back. The dean of the Oakland University, which is where it's on campus in Michigan, liked it so much they want to bring the play back again next year. The same play, Rose.
Do you think you'll do it? Or?
If it's in December and January and I'm not shooting a movie, I'll definitely do it. Because like I said, there's nothing like, as an actor, there's nothing like live theater and having live.
It was fun.
It was a ball, and you're so sweet. And Rose also came to a gig I did at the Royal Park Hotel in Rochester, which is a very swanky hotel, and she came with some friends. She's a big supporter. All the people in Michigan are really supportive and nice, and as much as I miss the Days fans, I'm finding that there's some Days fans here in Michigan,
right.
Which is wonderful, you know.
Well, are you with somebody else?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just wondering, because you're such a jazz singer and you seem so influenced by swing music. Was Frank Sinatra like one of your favorite singers?
Yeah,
as a kid,
he was.
Rat Pack.
When I was growing up, it's so funny because I was growing up. I'm dating myself a little, but I grew up in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was listening to Led Zeppelin, which I love the heavy metal and that sort of thing. But my friends were really into Led Zeppelin and Jethro Tull and those type of bands. And
mm-hmm.
I was playing my mother's Louis Prima records and Frank Sinatra records.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and they would be like listening to, they were saying, what are you listening to, man? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening to what I loved. And I sort of marched to a different drummer back then. Now that all that music is really popular, you know, it's so funny how it all comes around again. But I was definitely influenced by Sinatra. I thought he was, you know, he's obviously got the best phrasing. But the thing is that I'm also influenced by jazz, and I write my own music, and I just recorded a new CD, which
right.
it has a lot of my own music that's on it, that we're pushing for a record deal here in Detroit. Robin Ford, the great guitarist, is on it. It's kind of bluesy jazz, which is kind of what I do along with the Come Fly With Me and the Fly Me to the Moon type songs, but I do bluesy jazz as well. And I love it. I love singing live. I can't even pick which one I like more, acting or singing. I like them both. You know, I'm blessed, you know, by God that I have talent in both areas. And so I try to do it as much as I can, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that if you had a preference. So I'm sure you're thrilled when you get to do both at the same time with your
When I get to do it, yeah, that's great. Well, like when I got to do it on days and I got to sing on the show, that's even better. Or maybe down the road I'll do a musical at Meadowbrook or in Michigan, which would be a wonderful thing, because then you're combining the two things that I love, you know. But I couldn't pick it. I mean, and I think they're both very similar. I think comedy and like scat singing, for instance, is similar. You're listening to your other musicians, you're listening to your other actors, and you're kind of just going with the moment. You're flowing with the flowing in the moment as a singer and as an actor in comedy. You can't think about what you're doing. You just got to go for it. And a lot of times there's some funny, wonderful results that happen, you know. I just love audiences. I just love being in front of a live audience. I mean, you just can't beat that. As much as I love doing the movies here, and as much fun it was as it was doing the scenes with Ed Helms from The Hangover. He produced Cedar Rapids, by the way, and we shot that in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is where University of Michigan is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as that live audiences. I think I was just born to love doing live stuff. But I'll tell you, Ed Helms was a hoot. He produced that movie, and I think it's going to be really funny, so you guys watch for it. It's called Cedar Rapids. Ed Helms is in it. Anne Heche, John C.
Wow.
Reilly. John
wow.
C. Reilly. Yeah, a really good cast of very funny people are in it, and Ed's the funniest of the bunch, you know. He plays this sort of hick Iowa insurance salesman who gets into all kinds of trouble by his complete stupidity. Very much like Bart. He plays a Bart-like character. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know. For instance, in the movie, I play this guy, Lindy, and I'll clean this up for radio, but I come out of a hotel room with a prostitute, and so he's coming up to me and saying, so what are you guys doing? What's going on? What are you guys doing? And, like, I'm trying to get away from him, and he keeps asking, you know, why are we together? What are we doing? And it's just, like, embarrassing, and it was really a funny scene. I can't wait for it to come out. My daughter's looking forward to it. My 12-year-old daughter, Nicole, is actually looking forward to the premiere of Oogie Love and the Big Balloon Adventure, because I get to do a voice of a sheep and a cow.
Aww.
Yeah, and it's very funny, and I even sing a little bit as these characters, and she wants to, her goal, her dream is to walk on the red carpet with Daddy, you know, on a premiere, you know. She's into acting a little bit as well. She's starting to dabble into it, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if she was following your footsteps at all.
She is, yeah. She got a picture and resume. She's got an agent in Detroit, and and they called her in. She, in fact, she read recently, and I got to get going. How did the time go so fast? Is it 8 o'clock over there?
Yeah,
she read for they're doing a new version of True Grit, and they auditioned here in Michigan for the role of Maddie, who was played by Kim Darby a long time ago, and John Wayne was Rooster Cogburn. And she auditioned for the role of Maddie. She, you know, and she almost, this movie that I did, Muslim, with Danny Glover, she almost booked the role of the little girl, the little Catholic girl in there. It was between her and another girl. So she's getting really close to, yeah, she got very upset. She wanted that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, but that was also another really good shoot. We shot that in Monroe, Michigan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, you guys have been great. I can't believe I've had so much fun. Was there any other? I can go on for a few more minutes. Is there any other people behind Rose that were waiting, or is it just something that?
I scheduled it for 29 minutes, so we can we can keep talking. I'm actually going to let you know Judy Evans is going to be back on the show.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they brought her back. She's not playing Bonnie, though. She's playing Adrian Kyriakos, the character she played in the
original.
Early 90s. Yeah, her
right.
First character. Yeah, so I
well,
asked about Judy.
Yeah.
It was getting close to a Bart and Bonnie romance, and then they let you go in 2005, and we were so disappointed.
We love Judy. Yeah, everybody kept wanting to say Bart and Bonnie. She was actually my first and only kiss. And it was during the stripper segment of the Sammy mm-hmm. stuff, you know, where we actually got to kiss. But she wanted to do it, too. We thought that would be a really good love interest. But the producers felt that the comedy guy shouldn't have the love interest, which is silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was not a good move. A lot of times producers on shows make decisions that they think is right for the show, and I don't necessarily agree with them. So what are you going to do, you know? But I thought that would have been really fun to have a love interest with Bonnie. Some even said Maggie a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Maggie's single right now. She's widowed, actually.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
They killed off Mickey Horton about a month ago. Yeah.
Well, listen, before I leave, I just want to say, speaking of that mm-hmm. Frances Reed was really a sweetheart,
mm-hmm.
and I loved when, on the rare chances that we did do scenes with her, that we got a chance to work with her, because she was the original Days of Our Lives cast member, and everybody loved her, and she'll be very much missed, and we always enjoyed having her come and do her scenes on Days. And you know, it must have been sad for everybody and Ken Corday and the whole group over there, because she was, I guess, a part of history, and you know, that's the last of that particular legacy, you know, that of the original cast members,
right?
Sweet Alice and her donuts, you know. And I'm sure that I very much was saddened by it, and I know Allie was too, and a lot of people. And and so I just wanted to say that, you know, wherever you are, Frances Reed, we love you, you know. And I love you guys, and thank you for asking me to come on the show. I've got to go tuck my daughter in.
Okay.
It's a school night, but
right,
it was great that you guys had me on, and I'll see if I can't rustle up Shelley Henning or Nadia or, you know, Teo, and get them to come on your wonderful show here, you know.
Yeah, we would love to have you again sometime, and please keep us updated on what you're up to.
I will.
And I'll spread the word so everybody can come and see you, whatever you're doing, you know, movies or singing.
Oh, yeah,
or,
you know, I'll filter it through Rose, and she can tell you, Carrie and Lori, you know, what's mm-hmm. going on with me here in Michigan. There's lots of stuff going on, and I'd love to have you, like, you know, put it out on the radio, because I'm sure you got a lot of Michigan listeners, too, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Steve.
Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. Bye. Yeah, and everyone can keep updated with Steve's up to at steveblackwood.com. That's his website. And Steve's on Facebook, and that's how we got a hold of him. So it's and he'll accept you as a friend. Just look up Steve Blackwood. I'd like to thank Rose, and sorry we had another caller, and I just didn't catch it, and it was, he had to go. It was after he had to leave. So thanks, everybody, for being in the chat room and giving us questions, and thank goodness that chat went well.
It was great. It was terrific.
It was perfect. And Steve,
we
wow,
didn't have to work at all. He was so talkative. We had to, we just mentioned a word, and he was going. He's a great guest. Terrific.
Yes. Yeah. Seriously, he should host his own radio show.
He
should. He'd be perfect. Yeah, and I learned a lot from him too. From you know, when he's teaching his students to do and everything, and apparently Michigan's the place to be. I mean, that's just amazing. That's what I don't want to get on my soapbox, but tax cuts really do inspire people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope other states pay attention to what they're doing in Michigan. I mean, you know, I couldn't be more thrilled. And all those movies he was talking about, you know they're all going to be huge. I mean, Ed Helms is really big right now. I watch him on The Office, and he's kind of like, he did what Steve Blackwood did. He came on the show, I think it was the second or third season, and it was a small role, and it just blew up. And then he was on The Hangover. So, and I think there's a lot of great stars in that movie, and then the animated movie talked about, and the Danny Glover movie. And we're going to be seeing a lot of Steve Blackwood. On the
big screen. Yeah, it's terrific that it seems like his career is going through a whole renaissance out there. You know, he was saying he was working more than he had in L.A., and it's terrific that Michigan, you know, that the art scene's moving all over the place. You know, it's not just in the big cities.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then you have the internet. A question I wanted to ask him was, would he ever consider doing like a web series or a web show, you know, a film out there in Detroit and, you know, that sort of thing, because it's not just all, it's not old school anymore, you know. Everything's all spread out and, technology is taking over. And so there are a lot of different avenues, just like this radio show, a lot of different avenues to do things now, you know. And I think it's great he's taking advantage of that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. He's, one thing to be talented, obviously he's talented. I mean, I was watching him on YouTube last night. He was in a scene with Tyne Daly. And he was kind of playing Bart as a cop. So actually, that would have been funny. Bart would have been a great, you know, Brady-type cop. But, I mean, yeah, he was playing a cop, but he just had zinger after zinger after zinger with Tyne Daly. I mean, that must have been something else. I wish I could have asked him about that. But, yeah, and, yeah, I wish we'd gotten this thing a little bit, too. But, you know, he's a talented guy.
If we had been really stuck, I would have asked him, can you sing a little for
us? No, I actually did want him to sing a little bit just to hear it. But, you know, there's something to be talented. Like I said, the nurse thing is to be smart. You know, you can not be the most talented person, but if you're smart, you know, you can get ahead, too. And he's obviously both. And, you know, not like being nice and funny and so easy to talk to. And, he, you know, comedy isn't easy. So, you know, a lot of serious actors try to do comedy and they fail. And to have that natural ability to do that, and it's just amazing. And I'm glad I got to talk to him about Judy a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it was interesting what he said about, you know, that you can't tell the laughs, you know, when he was doing, I wanted to ask, did he ever, you know, crack up at the other co-stars when they were in the take doing his Bart stuff, you know, would they just ever just lose it and, you know, have to do the take over and over? It's interesting because, yeah, the theater, you get that reaction, and then in film, you know, or in television, you know, you just have to go, I suppose, on your instincts and, of course, what they say after they've done the scene, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's interesting to get the take of that sort of thing from some, you know.
Yeah, that was on my list. I want to know who he could crack up and who he couldn't crack up.
Uh-huh.
I was really interested in that. Because, I mean, for me, I mean, I couldn't do a scene with Steve. Because I would just be laughing my ass off the entire time. Because I cannot keep a straight tape. I mean, you know, just, I can't do it. It's impossible. He's too funny. I'd have him do that with Joe and Teo and you know, Eileen Davidson and Willa Tay. I mean, you know, I hope we can get Steve again. I think that'd be great, and we can ask him some questions like that. But I really wanted to know, like, does he push the laugh? Like, does he try to like get them laugh on purpose? You know, like, is he trying to make them crack? You know what I mean? Or is he just, you know, crushing
them
like he's doing?
It doesn't strike me that he would be trying to. You know, I think he's just, you know, doing what he needs to do. I don't, because he sounds so professional. We have to get, you know, no one can laugh because they have to get to the tape. And, you know, with soap operas, as I understand it, you know, we see the bloopers every once in a while, but those are actually pretty rare because, you know, time is money. And and so I think the directors will yell at you if you crack up too much.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. We all read interviews from the 80s, you know, the pranks they used to pull on the set. And, you know, so with John DeLancey and Deidre Hall, pantsed each other during a Christmas scene behind the, I think behind the counter in the hospital or something. It's like, you know, you kind of miss hearing antics like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a management problem. I think they should, I mean, I understand, you know, the shows is important, but still having a good workplace environment is good too. Like even those Molly Burnett, Casey Dietrich YouTube clips they put up. That was brilliant. That was hysterical. I mean, you have little Sydney dancing and Johnny Anderson dancing and Kristen Chappelle and them, that scene they did with the baby and, you know, James Scott sitting there. And yeah, it just, you know, we need stuff like that. Everybody needs humor in their lives. And I'm glad he talked about how, I can't remember, was it the writer who didn't think Funny Men should end up with a girl?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Because, you know, it made me think of Eugene and Calliope and, you know, how well that was the coupling. That was a total, both characters were comic characters, and they were a pretty popular couple in the 80s, you know. They were the comic relief, and why can't a funny guy get a girl? To me, you know, in real life, sense of humor is one of the most attractive things a guy can have. I mean, so I think that's just, you know, them think not being able to think outside the box. I mean,
well,
to me, some of my favorite characters on the show, you know, there's a whole group of character actors like John DeLancey and Steve Blackwood and Arlene, you know, where, you know, they just, you know that you're in for a treat the minute they're in a scene. You're going to get, before the show's over, you're going to laugh about something, you know, and I just think, you know, that's kind of what I think is missing from the show now. We have our sarcastic zingers. I guess Victor has sort of inherited the torch a little with the sarcastic zingers, but it's not the same as just having a truly special character that that's going to be a funny scene you're in for, you know?
Right. And I think I think maybe the male writers is maybe don't get that women find funny men attractive too. You know what I mean? Like, women like guys that make them laugh, and I don't think they understand that. And I've seen people online too. They're real narrow-minded, and they think unless you're perfect-looking and, you know, young, 20s and 30s, and that you could potentially be a super couple. If you're not someone like that, you shouldn't be on the show. Period. You know, they don't understand characters and character actors. You know, they just think they're window dressing, you know. And there's no reason why they couldn't have a Bart or Bonnie romance or even a Bart and Maggie romance.
I think a Bart and Maggie romance would be beautiful because, you know, right now we're seeing her grieving, and now it looks like she's starting to become ill with the Myasthenia gravis storyline that I think that's going to be coming. And, I mean, she needs, you know, with all the drama in her life, if you had a character like Bart that would come in and make her laugh, you know, that would be the working of a beautiful story with a couple that is, you know, older than 20. and you know, and it doesn't have to be all about clothes and adultery, you know, the clothes off and the adultery and secrets and this, that, the other. It could be a simple, beautiful story. And I think that kind of thing is what's missing a lot in soaps these days, you know.
Well, the show and Gerald's having problems with making new couples. I think the only new couple I like is Stefano and Kate. And they work because Kate's done bad things, Steph has done bad things, and they just accept they're going to do bad things. But it's one of those things, though, you know, if they don't, they can't trust each other, though, it probably won't work. You know, as long as they don't stab each other in the back, they'll probably, you know, be a good relationship. But, you know, with Maggie, though, I would be bored if she, like, started dating Victor or somebody, someone that you know she's going to morally object to eventually, kind of like, why did they didn't even give Caroline and Victor a chance.
No.
After Sean died, and she just kind of just flat out rejected them. And it's like, why not? I mean, this is a couple that was together, whatever, 40, 50 some years ago, and they're both single, and, you know, they could have went there, but, you know, Caroline had to be on her high horse.
Right. Well, I thought as soon as Sean Brady died that that was going to clear the way for a Caroline Victor sort of reunion, but they never went for it.
Some of us have been waiting 20 years for that, you know. I mean, I understand Sean and Caroline should be together, but I would like to see, you know. Well, I've said that several times. I went in the scrum scene with Caroline and Victor. But, you know, why not bring – and I love Judy, but, you know, I'm just not that fond of Adrian Kyriakos anymore. And if there's no reason why they can't have throw a wig on Judy and make her Bonnie Longheart again. I mean, I understand none of her kids are on the show anymore, but, you know, I would just love to see Bonnie just for one episode. That would make my day. And
Think they could. I mean, if Eileen Davidson, when she was on the show, could play all those different characters, there's no reason Judy Evans couldn't, be on there regularly as Adrian, and then every once in a while you'd see Bonnie show up.
Mm-hmm.
So why the heck not? I mean, she's already established as, you know.
Yeah, like
of course, if Adrian and Bonnie ran into each other, they'd ask why they look so alike, but that's another story.
That'd be hysterical, like, just have them, like, obviously you can't, you see one of their backs, and just have them across each other in the street, and, you know, like, I'm like, what the hell? You know? But I would love to see just one episode where Judy is Bonnie, and she goes to Maggie and pays her respects for Mickey being dead, because Mickey was her ex-husband, or whatever you want to call it, you know, but... They should do that once, but I doubt they will. We have a caller, 586.
Yeah, this is Rose. I'm back.
Hey, Rose.
Hey, I've been trying to get back for a little while. I guess maybe you guys were busy or had more calls or something. But wasn't that a great interview?
Yeah, he was great. Thank you so much for all your help.
I knew he'd be good. He's real people, and... he's really trying to make a go of it in here in Michigan. And I don't know if you saw the link I had the other day to the Detroit Free Press story, but, I mean, he was on the front section, the main article on the business section in the Sunday paper. There was a picture of him teaching his acting class and explaining, you know, about his years out in L.A. and New York. And he grew up here in Warren, Michigan, not too far away from where I live now, and went to the same high school as my niece. They were 5 years apart, but I know the area quite well. But, I mean, he's just, and I would love to see him back in prime time, though. I mean, it would be nice to see him really get, it'd be nice to see him get in a sitcom, you know? A running sitcom with where he played a funny cop or something, like a Car 54, Where Are You, maybe, like a remake, or... It's probably been done before, but something along those lines, he'd be hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much more time you have left. But...
Actually, we can end at any time, but no, I think we'll keep talking for a few minutes. Yeah, we have about 11 minutes to go. Yeah, we can keep talking. I mean, go ahead, hon.
Leanne is on tonight, too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's on right now. Yeah. And I'm going to have to catch that online maybe tomorrow. But, yeah. I know that I got lost at 9. It's a busy night. But, yeah, I mean, the movies, though. I mean, yeah, I was going to ask him about that, too, if he had a preference towards movies or primetime or soap operas again. I didn't know he was trying out for Guiding Light. That was interesting. Well, I guess that wouldn't have worked out.
That would have been a short gig, yeah.
That would have been a short gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lasted long.
Yeah.
Did anybody see the show today?
No, I haven't had a chance yet.
Oh, okay.
But the back-to-back interviews going on.
Yeah,
just let everybody know, we've been so busy. So I got the interview with Steve Saturday night, and I'm starting to prepare for that. And then last minute, I got an email to schedule Leanne. That was Sunday night. And then we all had to get questions together for Leanne. And then as soon as Leanne was over, seriously, I mean, as soon as that interview was done, I was preparing for Steve. I mean, like, immediately after, like, that I was watching him on YouTube, and there's some fantastic stuff. But you can see the whole Honeysuckle Rose clip with him singing with Rolf.
Yeah,
it's funny. Yeah, he
yeah, the montage is sort of a best of Bart moment. So anyone that doesn't know, you know, doesn't remember Bart or watch the show after Bart was already gone, you know, if you want to get an idea of just how funny this character was, check out the montage on the blog. And it's a lot of different jokes and one-liners, and I'm sure you'll end the video at some point having had a good laugh. And he also does some singing on it, too. I put what he mentioned, Honeysuckle Rose, and Mac the Knife is on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do have the Mac the Knife scene? Or
I have a whole lot of that Jack and Jennifer interview. It's sort of all interspliced together, you know, so there's a whole lot from that Jack and Jennifer interview that's in there.
It's a montage. She took the interview, and then, like, there's a part they were talking about what he does, he's good at, and he says cooking, he said mostly eggs, and then she cut to a scene where he's with serving the Vichy sauce. It's very cute.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a caller, 423.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Hey, girls, it's Jen.
Hi.
Jen.
How are y'all doing?
Good. Oh, I love your accent. That's awesome.
I had to call him and throw in some southern twang for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Our first southern call. Cool.
I know. We're so excited.
I loved the interview. You guys did a great job. And I want to thank Rose. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks so much for getting Steve for us. And, you know, I'm, you physically saw him a couple of times. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was by chance the first time at the MGM. I didn't even know he was going to be there. When we were waiting in line at the MGM to see the Day's Stars, he was one of the first to come out and greet and talk to everybody. He was so pleasant, and he kept the crowd involved. Like, we were so tired of waiting. We were waiting 3 and 4 hours to get in.
Oh,
and
my.
He was just so nice to come out and talk to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, it sounds like he's good friends with Nadia. It sounds like he's mentioned her a few times. So, and she was there at the event. The event with Nadia and Sean Christian and
Brian DiTillo.
Brian DiTillo, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're all good pals. There's a lot of camaraderie among all of them at the event, and I mean, they were having a good time. I mean, they talk among themselves, and they kid around, and they would, share. They were helping other actors too, like Reed, and if Steve Blackwood needed help with something, he'd go over to maybe Shelley Henning and talk to her for a minute, and she'd come over and help, and so on. They were all interacting together, helping the crowd, and helping the wannabe actors, or you know, trying to read or get the parts. I mean, it was really, it was all so friendly. I mean, I haven't seen interaction like that. I don't even see that where I work.
That's funny.
Well, I think a lot of actors, you know, like the soap actors, it remind me of when we, at the Burlington event I went to a few years ago, they have such a happy spirit about them, maybe because they're not working or whatever, but I just remember how upbeat and positive all of them seem to be, you know. But maybe it's because they're working and they're doing what they love, you know, not schlepping in an office all day or anything, you know. So, you know, maybe it's just, it's good for the spirit to have a job like that you love doing.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Now we want to hear more of your voice, girl. What's your two cents? You've been watching the show?
I've been watching. It depends on who's on, really, if I watch it or not. But I'm ready for the Sydney kidnapping to be over with. It's old.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of it. But
yeah.
Speaking
of which, there was a spoiler coming out over the web today that maybe Dr. Baker is going to be showing up in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
Which means the whole baby storyline is probably going to be dragged out even more.
Uh-huh.
Why else would they bring him back?
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready. Is Nicole coming back? She's coming back, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should be back
very
soon.
Yeah. It's March sometime. Yeah.
Good.
I love Arianne Tucker. She's amazing. I liked her since she was first on the show. But she always did bad things, but she always sold it. You know what I mean? You always felt sympathy for her. You always understood what she was thinking and why she did what she did. That's why I thought she was just absolutely amazing in the whole baby storyline. I mean, it was getting frustrating after a while watching her going through the angst every day. You know what I mean? This is not, I like to just enjoy being with the baby and enjoy being with EJ instead of, worrying about the secret, the entire time. Because that's not fun to watch. None of us like watching people squirm for 9 months.
They were always throwing obstacles in her path. It was always when she got married to EJ, she was worrying about it. The honeymoon, she was worrying about it. It was always something like that going on. And I think dramatically it might have been more interesting if she had been sort of happy and thinking it was all over and done. And then Rafe or whoever could come and spring the big surprise on her, and it would be a bigger blow up when it all came down. But we were all waiting. We all, every day it was a threat that it was all going to fall apart. So it kind of, I think, lost a little of the dramatic, impact the way they wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree.
But I'm looking forward to her coming back.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't understand what they're going to do with John Callahan, though. That's what is interesting. I didn't see the actual switching scene. Did he switch the babies, or did Nicole actually just go over and pick up Sydney? Did she do it herself, or did he switch them?
I think he was holding them, and she did the switch, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was holding the baby, and she told him to switch them. She said, I want this one, and you take this one and give this one to Sammy. She actually told him, yeah.
Because if this ends up being really Mia and Chad's baby, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. And what would be the drama in that? I mean, who would care,
Right.
I'll actually watch today, and Mia, I wanted to slap her. She just gets on my nerves so bad.
Uh-huh.
I just wish they'd write her off or something.
She was awful today, just. She's trying. I think they're trying to turn her into a bad girl, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, you should be on the show. I'm telling you, with your looks and your voice, you would just knock them all dead. You would knock them all dead, girl. I'm serious. No, I mean my family makes me watch Hannah Montana once in a while. It's like, oh my God, if I have to hear Miley Cyrus one more time, I'm gonna shoot myself in the head.
Oh God,
you know what I mean? She's awful, the overacting and everything. But I mean, your voice, I mean, it's just perfect. It just moves. You're not irritating like Miley. But
I used to see her dad, Billy Ray.
Mm-hmm.
When I would visit home, and we'd call him Billy Ray Virus because he's just annoying. He's so annoying.
My mom loved him. She always wanted to hear achy, breaky, heart at any wedding.
Oh, God, with the mullet and everything. Oh, yeah. How embarrassing.
Well, we have a minute to go, so I wanted to wrap up by thanking Steve again and giving a shout out to his daughter, because his daughter will be listening later.
That's sweet.
I believe her name is Nicole. So, hello, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
You. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot from Nicole Blackwood.
His wife is Karen, and he gives her a lot of credit, too.
Hi, Karen.
Yeah,
that's daughter's name.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I just want to thank Steve. He was just amazing, and he was so easy, and that was a lot of fun. And I wish we could have another half an hour with him, because that would have went by in a snap too.
Well, what they should do is put his version of the play, Boeing Boeing, on, make it a traveling, you know. I know it's on Broadway or has been with, he said, Bradley Whitford, but it'd be great in other cities.
Right. Well, thanks, everyone. The show is over.
Thanks, everybody. Good interview. Good show.
Yep, it was great.
Yeah, thanks, hey. Rose, and thanks for calling in, Jen. I'm glad we
You're
heard
welcome.
Your voice.
Thank you
You're
very
welcome.
Much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.